Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Browns Ravens in Baltimore. Will the Browns get the number one pick? Will the Ravens get the AFC crown? AFC North crown. So many things to talk about. Darryl Ryder, our very own beat reporter on 92.3 The Fan, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Darryl, welcome to the show, bud.
Ravens will look for division title number, ready to be sick for this one?
Yes.
8th.
Oh. How many of the Browns have really, in that span?
I thought it was going to be higher for some reason, Darryl.
Well, the Browns have 0. Oh. You can go all the way back till 1989 for that one.
And that's not good?
No, that's okay. Not good. Also, the Ravens, this is their 16th playoff appearance since 2000.
And that's also good?
That's also very good.
And how many of the Browns have?
3.
Hmm.
Not great.
Does Bailey Zappe give you a better chance to win tomorrow than DTR?
No.
Not even a little bit? Not even like a skosh?
Nah. His career numbers, around 63%, a little over 2,000 passing yards. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns, 12 to 11. He's been sacked 31 times, all that coming in 14 games with 8 starts. So, no.
All right. I mean, he did have a really nice game against the Browns a couple of years ago, and so I think a lot of people are hanging on to that.
I have news for you, Jonathan. The Browns are not going to be on the field playing defense against Bailey Zappe on Saturday. So,
yeah, no. I mean, listen, there's a reason why it's a 20.5 point spread, Darryl. There's not much high expectation there. But
is it bad that I in my final score I went over the spread?
No, what'd you do?
I got the Browns losing this thing. Let me look at 27-6.
Oh, that was so close to Pinkston's call.
Yeah, he said 28-3. And then he said, no, don't hold me to it. And then, yeah, I've never heard a more depressed Jason Pinkston than we had today at 4.
Yeah.
Listen back to that one on the free Odyssey app, by the way, 4 o'clock, if you want to use your rewind function. But yeah, Pink was very, very upset. I do want to know.
Jason is all of us right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, I mean, there's just nothing fun about this team. They're terrible. Thank God the season's over tomorrow. Locker cleanout is on Sunday. Monday or Tuesday, we get to hear all the excuses from Andrew Berry. And then we can just all go into, let's actually pay attention to a good team in town, and that would be the Cavaliers mode come Wednesday.
I'm just glad they carried Rodney McLeod off the practice field today in honor of his 2 years of service in Cleveland.
It's very nice of them, Darryl. He got the Rudy treatment for a great 3-13
season. People have been saying
season.
Rodney McLeod is the Browns Rudy. People have been saying that.
Yeah, and I accidentally called him Rodney McClown earlier, and I didn't mean that.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean it. I meant to say his last name. It was a Freudian slip. I apologize.
Yeah, but you know what they say about Freudian slips? A little truth slips out with them.
Well, how about that, Daryl?
Yeah, the Rodney part.
No David Njoku for this weekend, and yep. It seems like...
Familiar names are out. It's so bad in my game preview, I didn't even list probable starters. I normally put in probable starters. There's so many guys out, I just didn't bother to even include that in the game preview this week.
That's tough. I was going to do like a big picture David Njoku thing, but big picture with David Njoku. How does this... We talk about Myles Garrett all the time. Is there any chance David Njoku is also one of these players that eventually says, I've just had enough, uncle?
David's a hard guy to read. I think that a day could come where the Browns just trade him to get something for him. I don't know. I guess, but yeah, I'm really not sure. He's such a hard guy to read. It's tough to figure out at times when he's just messing around versus being serious. We haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, so haven't really posed that question to him as far as his feelings about hanging around. If he is... if he's around for locker cleanout, I will definitely throw that question his way, though, for you.
Daryl, looking back to the 40 quarterbacks who have started since 1999, and again, the Browns only had 28 starting quarterbacks from 1946 to 1995.
Would you like me to read off all the starters in in memoriam style, all 39 starters to come before Bailey Zappi?
Want is the worst word you could use on that. No. My question was going to be, how many of those quarterbacks do you think that the Browns literally ruined?
Well, let's go through the list. Tim Couch, they ruined him. Doug Peterson, nah. Spurgeon Wynn, nah. Kelly Holcomb, nah. Jeff Garcia, nah. Luke McCown, no. Trent Dilfer, no. Charlie Fry, maybe.
We debated DeShone Kizer earlier.
Well, hang on. Let me get to it. We're getting to him.
By the way, I think Derek Anderson is a yes.
You think they ruined DA?
Yeah, they got the man assaulted on Main Street in 2008. It broke him.
All right. We'll give you two there. Ken Dorsey, no. Brady Quinn, yes. Bruce Gradkowski, no. Jake Dahomey, no. Seneca Wallace, no. Colt McCoy, I'll give you a yeah on that. Actually, I think it's the Steelers that broke him.
Or Brad Brandon McCoy. Whedon,
Brandon Whedon, guy was a senior citizen when they drafted him. Thaddeus Lewis, no. Brian Hoyer, I think they broke his spirit. So I'm going to say yes there. Jason Campbell, no. Johnny Manziel ruined himself. Connor Shaw, no. Josh McCown, no. Austin Davis, no. Robert Griffin III, no. Cody Kessler, no. DeShone Kizer, meh. Do you want that one, JP?
Yeah, thank you.
You want that one? Okay, I'll give you that one.
The kid was despondent. You and I had to have hey, kiddo. You're going to live after this, okay?
Once I saw him buy an economy size of adult things at the CVS, we all knew it was done.
Oh, God. Okay, so that's six. Kevin Hogan,
medium
no.
Quarterback energy.
Rod Taylor, no. I'm going to say Baker Mayfield. They ruined him. And Baker Mayfield also ruined himself. Mutual, but so we're up to seven of the 40. Case Keenum, no. Nick Mullins, no. Jacoby Brissett, no. DeShone Watson ruined himself, no. Dorian Thompson-Robinson just wasn't any good. PJ Walker, no. Joe Flacco, just old, no. Jeff Driskel, no. Jameis Winston, no. And we're about to find out on Bailey Zappi. So seven of the guys, seven of 40. I don't know what percentage that is, but it's not great, that's for sure.
Do you just enjoy reading off the list of 40 quarterbacks?
Absolutely. It's comical at this point. It's comedy for me. To be that incompetent, at one spot, the most critical spot in the world, and it's no secret why this franchise is a pathetic 141, 277, and 1. Since coming back into the National Football League. So glad, I bet Browns fans are, that they flooded the fax machines, they sued in court, and they fought to get this back. This is what this is the big thank you the Browns have given them over the last 26 years.
What are you expecting on Sunday after the game and it's clean out day? Are you expecting anything?
No, not really. You know, the mood in the locker room's been great this year.
We saw with the Rodney McLeod toss into the pool. We saw how great the locker room has been, apparently.
I mean, they got a lot of 13-3 energy going, but they're a 3-13 team. You know, they've said that they're upset by the losing, but they've really not sounded upset by the losing. Miles Garrett, I think, is the one that has sounded the most angry about the losing this year. So everyone else just seems to be like, yeah, it is what it is. You know, we're just going out, collecting our checks, playing a football game. We win, we lose. Well, we're trying to win, but we lose. Well, whatever, you know. That's just the way it's felt to me in the locker room. They're just not as devastated and crushed by what an awful football season this has been as their fans are. Because I didn't see this coming this year. This being this bad. I thought there was a chance maybe they could lose 10 games. I didn't think that they had a 14-loss season there in the making. But here we are.
Daryl Ryder joining us now, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
What, any more lists you want me to read off?
Because I've got a few. Please, okay. Please don't.
Would you like me to read off all the losing streaks since 99?
No, I've lived them. I don't need to relive them.
About all 46, how many presidents
six,
are we on
six, four gamers, 6-5 gamers, 3-6 gamers, 5-7 gamers, a 9 gamer, a 14 gamer, and a 16 gamer.
The idea that we're going to surpass, within the next 5 years, the Browns are going to surpass U.S. presidents, and the country's been around since 1776. In fairness, the first president was, what, 1792? I don't know. The point is, it's been almost 300 years of a country, and 26 years of crap Browns. If you surpass starting quarterbacks since the return of the franchise in 99, if you surpass the number of U.S. presidents within 30 years, relegation. I'm just trying to think of, like, how can you... I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have exactly 40 quarterbacks. They're the worst franchise.
Yeah, but
in
they got
NFL
Super
history.
Bowls in the case, Nick. Yeah, they've actually won.
You're right.
All.
You're right. But if you look at it, They've got like a 408 winning percentage. It's the lowest in the NFL of all active franchises, and they just hit 40 quarterbacks with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think the Browns can challenge them. I mean, they've gone off the deep end. It's been historically bad. They're the worst franchise in the NFL since 99, and because it's been so bad, they are below 500 as a franchise overall now. And it just has wiped out the excellence that, you know, Paul Brown and, you know, that first era of, you know, from Paul Brown all the way through to Bill Belichick that had gotten built up from a win percentage, that has all been wiped out by this, whatever this has been for 26 years. It's pretty incredible.
Daryl, would you make a trade for J.J. McCarthy?
I don't know.
Is that a no?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
we'll give you more time to think about it.
I don't know.
We can give you more time to think about it.
I don't think that there's really any good answers for quarterbacks for next year. I mean, they've got to do something. That's like crystal clear. The Browns are in the worst position you can be in for a franchise, where you have this need that you've had for over a quarter of a century, and this offseason, there's really no good options for you, both on the from a trade standpoint, from a draft standpoint, from a dumpster diving in free agency standpoint. Or bringing the guy back you're giving $46 million to a year. Like, there is no good option that they can bring in here where I'm like, that turns everything around. That's a difference-making move, and this team is going to bounce back and be a playoff contender next season. There's nothing out there right now that I feel that way. Now, I my feelings could change as we really get into the offseason and see some of these options pop up, but you know, whether it's a J.J. McCarthy, whether it's a Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, all these, you know, Derek Carr, all these names getting thrown about, there's just no one out there that excites me. I'm just being brutally honest about it.
If they get the number one pick, let's say even one of the top two picks.
Trade
it. Okay.
Trade it. because my thing is get an extra first round pick for next year's draft so that you can maybe have some ammunition to where if there is a quarterback you want, you can go get that quarterback with the first overall pick by trading for it.
Are you?
Of course, they may be so bad next year, you might get the first overall pick just naturally on your own. But like, just I think this is an offseason where building future draft capital and especially first round draft capital becomes somewhat important.
How much of a say should Stefanski have in the whole entire quarterback discussion?
Oh, from my standpoint, quite a bit. Because there are so few, if any, good options out there, I would basically hand Kevin a list of five names and say, circle your top two and we'll try and go get either one of those guys. And let him, because he's not really had his guy here, right? I mean, let's be fair about it. Deshaun Watson wasn't a Kevin Stefanski-style quarterback. Kevin tried to adapt to him, right? The organization tried to adapt to him. I think Joe Flacco in that five-week period where we saw him just light it up, right? I think Flacco was as close to the prototypical from a physical traits, style of play, production standpoint, right? We got to see the potential of Kevin Stefanski's offense and what it could be. So, yeah, I absolutely would allow Kevin to have some serious input this offseason on the type of quarterback he wants in 2025.
So when it comes to it, one of the parts of the Jeremy Fowler article is the Browns continuing to push the narrative that this is not a prolonged rebuild. Does that mean you disagree with that, that this could take 2 to 3 years?
No, I do agree with that. I don't... The only way this becomes a prolonged rebuild is if Myles Garrett tells them, get me out of here. And they ultimately trade him for a couple of first-round picks and some other picks that go with that, right? Then you're done. That's it. If you are able to convince him that you can win next year, you can win at the very latest in 2026, because his thing is he doesn't want to be doing rebuilds 3, 4, 5 years down the road, right? And he's 29 years old, just turned 29, absolutely within his right to think of that. Whether he gets a sack title this weekend or another defensive player, he's not only thinking about building that Hall of Fame resume, he realizes that winning a Super Bowl is important to that Hall of Fame resume just as much as stacking up some defensive player of the year, stacking up the Pro Bowl appearances, stacking up the sacks and things like that. He needs to win football games. So if they can't convince him that their plan is going to work, and by the way, I think they've got a little bit of an uphill battle considering what Miles has witnessed over the last 8 years, then yeah, you trade Denzel Ward, trade Wyatt Teller, trade all the pieces and parts you can to stockpile draft picks and hit the reboot button. But if Miles is on board, don't trade Denzel. Don't trade Teller. You've got their defensively is pretty strong core there. The offense is the problem. The quarterback is the problem. And I just, that's what this all comes down to. If they can find a quarterback, they can be competitive next year. I'm convinced of it. I'm not convinced of Andrew Berry's capabilities in that regard.
Daryl, I saw you tweet about it. Are you not in on the Browns being one of 30 NFL teams hosting Super Bowl Fan Fest parties?
Yeah, what? You're supposed to celebrate the fact your team isn't playing that day?
No, I think it's a great watch party, a lot of fun stuff to do at the stadium and get to see the locker rooms. Hey, it's fun.
Okay.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. Great. I would rather just watch from the comfort of my recliner.
Oh, no, you're right. Watching it from home is so much better.
But yeah, I've got my own personal refrigerator, my own personal restroom. If I choose to be around people, it's people that I have chosen to be around. I know why they're doing it. It's another money-making venture for the National Football League, but I just had to mock it a little bit. Hey, go celebrate the fact that your team is not playing on Super Sunday by going to your nearest stadium or what convention center or whatever and doing this. Come on, man. Really?
So are you surprised that the NFL would like more money?
No,
right, I just want to make sure.
Why do you think there's games on Netflix and Amazon Prime and soon to be coming to another streaming service near you, I'm sure, at some point? And
Fubo?
Whatever. I don't know.
Kind of sounds like a dumb person saying football. Come to Fubo to watch some Fubo.
You made that one also an Instagram thought.
Halftime guest, Shabuze. All right, Daryl, we got to run, buddy. Appreciate you. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy the season finale. Talk to you Monday.
Bye, Daryl.
Talk to you Monday. Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by... I'm not wrong about the Fubo thing, right?
No, it's funny.
Every time I see it, it looks like a dumb person saying football. When we come back, we'll react to what Daryl had to say. I don't get the not have... I like the thing the NFL's trying to do here. We'll react to that next on 92.3 The Fan. There's a little bit more that they can do on there, which I think is fun. It's a fair trade-off.
The school computer thing is very new to me. I don't know much about it. Is it a school-issued computer, or is it one that you bought and then they...
Nah, school-issued.
The school gives everyone computers.
Yeah, the only reason you would buy it is if you broke it, which has also happened in the Wilson household, and I was not happy about it.
School's upcharging you on a bunch of bad computers you don't even want, probably?
Well, it was like the kids lost a charger.
Oh,
and then
really?
All of a sudden, a charger cost $45. That was in Charlotte. And I was like, there's no charger for this computer in the world. It's four generations ago. It doesn't cost $45.
Yeah,
so I bought a new one and brought one for $10 and took it to the school.
Because, of course.
And we called it even.
That's what you have to do in that situation. I had no idea that they were issuing out computers these days.
So, in fairness, I don't. I do love it from the homework perspective.
You used to have to pay for a TI-83 calculator. Remember those days?
And remember how it was even restricted when you could use those and when you couldn't?
Oh, yeah, but then you play it. I put Snake on mine, and I used to play the different games. That was a big deal.
Used to spell something on it and then turn it upside down.
That was like a Simpsons bit.
No, I would do that. Seriously. I'd do it now. You give me a T9.
I think that works with any calculator.
I still enjoy both the calculator and those things that you would spell.
You go into the one in your iPhone and then type it out.
Well, now I might have to.
Go. Just for old time's sake.
So it's pinging back a little bit because we bought them Fire whatevers and I put them both on my account.
Yeah.
And the problem is now they just registered for Duolingo. Excuse me. Yeah. I almost said Dua Lipa.
Teaching your languages.
Yes, which is great. Except they both used my actual email account because it just automatically populates. And I gave them specific, I actually programmed in there specific just for them Gmails that I could see that nobody else can see but me and Vanessa.
Yeah.
Nobody can send to. It's just for them to do this stuff. And so I have 50 emails within the last 10 minutes because they're not seeing where the email's going. And I'm overwhelmed right now. Between this and the Browns.
You're Keith yesterday with our Odyssey emails.
You know what? That was better.
Inundated with all sorts of emails. Now, at what point
that was
do you
funny because that was Keith.
At what point do you stop looking at them? You look at everyone.
Can't.
You have to with your kids.
I can't. Well, also, because I'm waiting for a couple important emails.
Why are there so many emails coming from Duolingo in particular? Is it every time they do an achievement, does it send you an email?
No. So I think they keep trying to log on, but they can't until... Because they used they somehow changed to my email. So you can't log on until you confirm it. But I can't confirm it without seeing it.
Okay, just make sure Duolingo didn't make them log in Spanish and they haven't learned that part yet.
How cruel
would that be?
But here's the thing: this is every time they download a new app, I get a notification, and it's circling me.
Yeah, that's
and
annoying.
Here's the thing: I have to do it. Because I have to keep an eye on what they're doing with that. And I understand this is just part and parcel of being a good dad. We're doing 50 emails a day.
That's just too many.
It's too many damn emails.
Then you should tell them. You only do you get three downloads a day.
Well, because it's not just that. I don't know if you've ever been on any of these games. You haven't, because that would make you some sort of predator. There are these games that these young girls play. And it's like an online game. And they all are in the same room. And then inevitably drama happens. So it's like, well, our cousin got this girl kicked out because she spelled out this word in the chat, and this girl said this girl was ugly. And I was like, just play the game.
You gave me a headache in 5 seconds.
Yes. Now imagine, because here's the other thing. They also sit next to each other, but then talk about it. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I think you should have twins, is what I'm saying. And even if you just have one more kid, make sure to adopt a kid that's the same age so you basically have twins.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
The most fun, especially if they're girls. It's the most fun.
Yeah.
I don't really understand Daryl having a problem with the Fan Fest thing.
I like the Fan Fest thing, too. A few years ago, I mean, it's probably at least 13, 14 years ago at this point, I went to Pittsburgh randomly on a day, and we toured Heinz Field. I thought it was awesome. Not that like the Steelers are that great or anything like that. It was just the idea that you could go tour the field and you could see things. If all this is them letting you go in the press box and you get to go down to the locker rooms and you get to tour the field and you hang out with Joe Hayden, who's against this?
Yeah, and it also, the tickets are free. They're limited, but they're basically first come, first serve basis.
So how
are
they even making money off of this?
I don't know.
You're going to get people for $3 hot dogs? Is that really how they're making money? Like, it's all just about... hey, cool NFL thing. I do think the Browns, listen, this stadium isn't that great, and we all know that. But, like, when they do their Browns Dome, they do the thing in Brook Park, we're going to have unlimited all sorts of tours, right?
They should go full Jerry, right?
Yeah, great point. Jerry, for those that don't know, Jerry makes about $10 million a year, but it's not about the $10 million a year. He charges $20 per an opportunity in what they do.
Which is wild, by the way.
The players complain about it all the time, because anytime they try to do practice or anything, it's all sorts of groups that just constantly are coming in and out and everything. But you get a whole Jerry World experience for $20 a pop, and it's just a thing that he does. And it's awesome, and he loves it. He loves every second of
it. And here's the thing. Miles and Njoku are going to love that, because more people get to see them shirtless working out. Yeah.
Players complain about it all the time with Dallas. Yeah. All the time. But like, that's part of the idea that I think good NFL teams should do these type of things where you give people the access that they don't always get, and you get to see some of the cool parts of having a great stadium and what a team is.
Well, here's the thing. There are going to be spots where that doesn't make as much money because the fans aren't as rabid. Like, I will say, and I don't know, there's a myriad of reasons why this has happened. I don't feel as connected on any given year with the Browns as I did 10 years ago. Some of that is me personally having worked and watched the organization up close, closer than most casual fans pay attention to.
Yeah.
And that runs a little bit of the magic out of it. Here's the other thing, though. Like, some of it is the access part of it. And right. I think this is just,
we talked about it with training camp, right? How many training camp dates were there this last year? Like six?
Six, yeah. Six open to the public, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You mentioned the Joe Hayden part of this. Even if it was like a $10 per ticket, something.
Just cover security
five,
costs.
10, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. $5, $10. I just think it's a cool idea. Because here's the thing. By the time you get to February, all this vitriol that we've had these last 13 weeks, all that, we are going to calm down. We are going to relax. We are going to, and there are going to be certain times where we buck up and we get mad about stuff. That's the way this goes when you're passionate about an NFL team. But by the time the Super Bowl comes around, yeah, it would be cool to have like a watch party and to get to see. Like, I just think it's a cool idea, especially if you're watching it in the state, especially once you get the dome, like being able to watch that on like a huge screen in the actual thing itself. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the Browns haven't done too many of these things, and they need to start doing more of them. And I think with the new stadium, we'll have a bunch of this stuff. At least I would hope we would.
Can I tell you the only thing that's going to hurt it? If it's the Steelers or Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be great, but then everyone will be rooting against the Steelers or the Ravens. You know, it'll be a cool get-together moment from that perspective. I think, Nick, we've been around locker rooms, and we've been around. We have the access. We've had the access for so many years. I just think a lot of people in our business gets jaded to what that is. Like, you got to take yourself back to when you're like 15, 16 years old and think about how awesome it would be to go and do some of this stuff.
I also think, as we get older, I think I'm so glad you mentioned the access part of this, because that's one part of it. Whenever I've been in a locker room, whether I've personally liked the team, personally liked the guys in the locker room or not, hasn't mattered. It's never lost on me what a moment that is and how cool, what a privilege that is to be in that space. And here's the other thing. I remember, like, dude, when I was 18 and I got to cover the BG football team for like an assignment. I actually got to be in the locker room.
Right? It's cool. It was cool.
Here's the thing. I didn't know I could do this. And when I say this, I mean like the media thing. I had a little bit of self-esteem issues. And, you know, though my dad had been in media, he had been more on the music side and the production side. You know, my dad hadn't really been in sports media since 97 when he left WRRO in Warren. So, like, I knew I wanted to do it, but I didn't think I could. And that little access, that little glimmer, that's the thing that reminded me I could do this. So let's say somebody out there didn't have a parent in media. You just never know what moment, what opportunity you afford young fans or even, you know, teenage fans, whatever. You just never know what's going to spark that thing that could change somebody's life.
It's just cool. That's the bottom line. It doesn't hurt anybody, and you don't have to go. If you don't like it, just don't go. It's fine. But for the people that do and the people that would love it, I do think, especially coming off the training camp, I just think this would be – I think it'd be pretty awesome. And I hope they do it for the new stadium as well. I really do.
If you guys want to learn more about this, VerizonFanFest.com.
It's like we're shills for the NFL. But when they do cool things, like, I want to support that.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, it's so easy to be cynical about individual teams, individual organizations. And it's also... it's easy to be cynical about how the NFL just constantly looks for new ways to make money. I get it. Also, occasionally they do just cool things. And I think there's so few things. They're so easy to be cynical about so many things. Sometimes it's okay just to call a cool thing a cool thing. And that's what this is.
Yeah, and I do think the NFL as a whole, I think they've done a good job, whether it is like the draft or different scenarios like that, and trying to move this around to different spots, of understanding that, like, when you make an event free, the longstanding payoff of that, like, it does exist. It is real.
216-474-0092. I do want to know, because the Browns are 3-13, potentially going on 3-14, would that make you less likely to go on these tours on the Super Bowl Fan Fest that the Browns will be hosting on Super Bowl? Not for me, dog. Nope. I actually might more want to go in a year like this, because I just don't have a lot of things to hope for because of the way the season's actually gone. In case we missed it, capping off the week's show next, right here on 92.3 The Fan.